As we prepare to hear God's word and how it applies to our lives, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news of the kingdom of God. Please may that good news sink into our lives and hearts, and may it bring your joy and your peace and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I feel a very long way away here from everyone who's seated on this side, so trouble is, I still need this because I've got multiple books and things that I need to look at. Just this last week, I received some really bad news, some really quite devastating news I found. I'm not going to tell you what that was. It's quite private, but it was the kind of thing that kicked me immediately into grief and anxiety. I felt like I had lost something really important to me, and I was really anxious and scared about what might come next from that. It was the kind of news that made me lose sleep, and I felt like I'd been kicked in the diaphragm. You may recognize that kind of emotion. You may have experienced grief. And if you do, you know that it can kind of grab you at any time, even when you're not really expecting it. In fact, I think in our society that we're often on the receiving end of bad news. You just have to turn on the telly, go to SBS or any other news station at news time, and the bad news just seems to wash over us. Sometimes it's very personal, sometimes it's kind of out there in the world. And I have a friend who says to me, "Nathan, I just need some wins. I just need some wins. I need to know that something is going well. I need it to not be all bad news." You know what? I think we're all like that. I think that we all need good news. We all struggle with the grief and the anxiety that bad news potentially brings, but we long for something to be good. We long for good news, and I'm talking about more than, you know, this man helps the ducklings cross the road at the end of the 6 o'clock news or some kind of cutesy story. I'm talking about really good news. When Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee, he is full of God's good news. He can't hold it in. He comes to preach to the people in the towns around Lake Galilee and the places where he grew up. And he is bursting with good news. What does that good news sound like? Jesus says, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So the content of Jesus' good news is that the kingdom of God has come near. And as we unfold in the book of Mark, we find out that Jesus himself is the representative of the kingdom of God. Now, that was clearly good news for the people in Jesus' day because professional fishermen left their jobs to go and follow Jesus. They went, "This is such good news that we are going to have a complete change of occupation, going to leave our nets, we're going to come and follow this guy, this man who is proclaiming to us good news." So, is it good news for us? Is it good news for us that the kingdom of God is near? Well, I obviously believe that it is. And in fact, I think it's the most life-changing and incredibly powerful news, good news, that we can ever hear. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, the essence of the good news is this, exactly what we sang in the kids' song before. The kingdom of God means that Jesus is in charge. Or, as Colin Buchanan sings it, Jesus is the boss. Now, I'm trying to avoid that one, that word in the sermon, because sometimes we have bosses who are not very good, or we have mean people who are bossy And we think, well, boss means kind of coercive and powerful and someone who uses their power to make you do what they want. That's not the kind of in charge that Jesus is. Jesus is the one who in the end is ultimately in control of how the universe turns out. He is the one who has the final say on how things finish and how they go. Why is this good news? Why is it good news for us? Well, in order to help you get your head around why it's good news that the kingdom of God is here and that Jesus is with us and he is the representative of the kingdom of God, I want to put to you some alternatives. But I want you to think of some first, okay? So we sang the song, Jesus is the boss, okay? I want you to think of alternatives to put in the place of Jesus there. What else could be the boss? What could be the thing that is finally in power? What could some of those things be in our lives or in the world?
The mortgage.
The mortgage is the boss, okay? Yep. What else? Violence is the boss. Yeah. Addiction is the boss. Yeah. This is good. You're doing well. Any more ideas? Stuff. Money. Money is the boss. Yeah. Okay. I came up with a few too. Let's see how these goes. What if sickness is the boss? What if our weakening and decaying bodies are finally all that there is, and all we have to look forward to is a long decline? Pretty much any of us can tell that that's not good news. How about this one? What if Donald is the boss? I think Donald thinks he's the boss. I think Donald would like to be the boss. But here's the thing. No matter what our politicians and world leaders say, no matter how much they bluster, no matter how much power they have right now, they are not the ones who decide how history turns out. I think a lot of people have thought that Donald is the boss is bad news. What about this one? Nothing is the boss. This is one that the atheists like Richard Dawkins really like. There's nothing. There's no God. There's no afterlife. Really, all the universe is just a chaotic bunch of randomness that just happens to have come together to produce you. And once your component atoms fall apart, that's it. Can't see good news in that, to be honest. Dying is the boss. What if death is the end? Or abuse? What if the powerful people in our lives who might hurt us are the boss? When you start putting any other thing apart from Jesus in that sentence, something is the boss, you start seeing that all of the other alternatives, in the end, once we understand them, are actually bad news for us. Every other alternative is bad news. But Jesus is in charge. The good news of the kingdom is that Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in charge over sickness, and we see in the first couple of chapters of the Gospel of Mark that Jesus goes from place to place healing people, bringing them health and wholeness and well-being. Jesus is the boss over dying and death. He even raises people from the dead, and he himself conquers death. Death is not the end. It's not the final say. Death is not the boss. Jesus is the boss. He is in charge over the powers of chaos and evil. And in the first couple of chapters of Mark, as we've been reading through it in Nikki's Bible study, we notice that Jesus often confronts the power of evil face to face, and he always defeats it. He doesn't let evil keep its grip on people. Jesus is in charge even over hatred and abuse, because he was willing to be hated and betrayed and abused and tortured and killed so that we could be people who belong to God. And he overcame that, not by hating back and hitting back, but by absorbing it into himself and by God raising him from the dead. You see, Jesus is not only a loving, compassionate guy, because that would be really nice, right? If the boss was a loving, compassionate guy, if the one in charge was someone who really cared about people. That is true. Jesus does really care about people. But more than that, he's actually the one who has the power to do something about it. He's the one who has the power to change those other things, which might be the boss. So the good news is not just that, oh, you know, that's nice. It's nice that Jesus is here. He's a good bloke. The good news actually changes everything about our lives. In fact, it requires a complete reordering of all of our priorities. And you can see that happening in this passage in the Gospel of Mark when he approaches Andrew and James and John and they're fishing and he tells them to come and follow him. Jesus being in charge requires a complete reordering of all of our priorities. We can't live the same way anymore. Just imagine John and James having a conversation with their dad as they're getting out of the boat to go and follow this rabbi. Guess what, Dad? You're not the boss now. Jesus is in charge. He's the one who I follow and listen to. He gets to make the decisions and the commands and the orders that determine what happens with my life. It's been nice working for you, Dad. See you later. Now someone else is in charge. I don't know quite how Zebedee took that, but, you know, maybe that kind of conversation happened. And a reordering of our priorities might be seen in this word, repent. So Jesus comes and he proclaims the good news, but he says, repent. Now, repent is a word that has been kind of thundered from pulpits by hellfire and brimstone preachers. But what it actually means is two things. It means turn around, do a full 180. So if you're heading in that direction, now you're heading in that direction. It's not just about bad stuff that we do, it's about direction. But also, repent means change your mind. Have your mind and your priorities and everything that's important changed by God. Go through a paradigm shift. And believe the good news. It's hard to believe the good news when you've received really bad news. When it seems like those other things that we listed and 100 other alternatives are actually what's in charge. Believe the good news. Jesus is actually the one who is in charge of the universe. I want to go back to what the kingdom of God looks like on a really practical level in everyday life. I told you that this week I received some really bad news, some really devastating news. When that happens, it's really easy for the enemy, our enemy, to get at us, to get at our hearts, and to get at our faith and trust in Jesus. But something strange and miraculous, I think, happened as I considered the good news that Jesus is in charge. I couldn't sleep very much that first night after I heard that news. You know how it goes, you know. And it's that feeling that you've been kicked around about here somewhere and that you might, emotion might spill over at any time. I sent a text to one of the people who prays for me, to one of my friends. I said, pray for me now. I'm grieving. I've just had some really bad news. And he answered with this. As I pray, I simply keep hearing the assurance that God has it in hand. That's what he replied to my text. I shared a bit of this with Yvette, of course, with my wife. And she said, Nathan, you've got to read this chapter from this book. This is probably not necessarily a good way to approach things, but this was absolutely perfect. And it's a book by Jen Hatmaker. It's a book generally for Christian women. It's called Mess and Moxie. It's incredibly funny, but also really, really deep and powerful. And so this was from a chapter about where Jen Hatmaker got some multiple rounds of really bad news. And she writes this. I finally remembered God is good. He has always been good. He loves us and he is here. He is paying attention and he heals. He can redeem what has been harmed. I do believe this. I was so terrified that I forgot for a minute, but I remembered. It was such a comfort that I cried from relief. God is faithful. He can be trusted. And those were very powerful words for me at that moment. So the good news and the kingdom of God might take many shapes. Maybe a text from a friend, a quote from a book. And the reminder that Jesus is in charge. But then, when I couldn't sleep, sometimes you have things going round and round in your head. Anyone ever have that happen to them? And what was going round and round in my head was not the devastation, was not the anxiety, but actually a Christian song, a song in the night. And the words of the song go like this. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You deliver me from my enemies. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. I am a child of God. And that's the good news of the kingdom. We're not slaves to fear. None of those other alternatives is the boss. Jesus is the one who is in charge. And that is true in your life and in when you hear bad news as well. I'm actually going to finish the sermon with a clip from that song. So I invite you to listen to it now. And I pray that those words will really impact your heart as well, whatever is going on in your life.
There's a melody. You surround me with a song. I deliver it from my enemy. Till all my fears come.
The good news of the kingdom is this: Jesus is in charge no matter what. We're not slaves to fear or anything else. Thanks be to God. Amen.